I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game. I'm perturbed. Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Ham, and Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
Yes, Tattoos and Touchdowns. No one is worthy. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's More Like Radio. I am your inflated ego of a host, Chris Esposito. With me, as always, is Will Sweeney.
What's going on?
And super producer, Joe C.
That's me.
Week 11 in the NFL. This has got to be, looking at this docket of games, is the best week so far.
Yeah. Before we go any further, though, I just want to say, simply we played that We're Not Worthy. Simply because the Pigskin Prophet pulled through again. He predicted after the last week's games that there would be no winless teams. He thought Jacksonville was going to win. I thought he was crazy. Turns out I was the crazy one. I agreed with Tampa Bay winning, but I did not think Jacksonville was going to win.
The Tampa Bay thing was like a foregone conclusion after everything that's been going on in Miami.
Yeah, absolutely. Miami was a team in turmoil, and, well, there you go.
Listen, the beautiful thing about prophesizing something is it's a 50-50 shot, especially in football. In sports in general, you kind of get to a point where it's like, all right, I'm either going to be really right or I'm going to be really wrong. So
you were extremely right.
I was extremely right. We were actually watching the Giant Raider game last week together for a little while, and I just kept elbowing Will and saying, look at the score of the Jacksonville game. And all he kept saying is, it's still early. It's still early. And it's still early turned into We're Not Worthy. So
yeah, well, we'll get to all that in a little bit. We're going to start off, as we always do, reviewing last week's games, starting out going over to Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers lose to the Philadelphia Eagles 27-13. Nick Foles had himself a decent day, 12 of 18 for 228 yards and 3 touchdowns. Seneca Wallace was 5 for 25 yards, goes down with an injury. And Scott Tolzien comes in, 24 of 39 for 280 yards, 1 TD, and 2 interceptions. Green Bay's in a lot of trouble right now.
Well, yeah, Tolzien actually started that game. And what I saw, it was a foregone conclusion that Philly was going to win that game. I mean, that spread went from, if Aaron Rodgers was in, like a 7-point favorite, because they were in Green Bay.
Right.
And by the time Tolzien was announced starter, Philly was favored by like 9.5. And if you were able to jump on that spread when it became a pick 'em game, that you were in good shape. Just looking at really quick before we get into how bad Green Bay is looking right now. Nick Foles' stats: he started 4 games this year. He's 3-1 as a starter. He's got 1,256 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. It's a great start.
He's starting off like Peyton Manning started off this season.
Right. But then, and that's the issue that I have. Everybody's making that quick Peyton Manning comparison because of the 2 weeks.
Well, again, he started off like Peyton Manning started, but you got to remember, Peyton Manning came crashing back down to earth. He's not throwing interceptions, this and that.
He's human.
Right. Exactly. He's not the $100 million man.
No.
Nick Foles, right now, is a lesser quarterback.
Right,
he's on a hot streak. You have to be concerned about it. You have to wonder when is he going to come crashing back down to earth, and when he does, how hard is he going to hit?
Right. The thing is that Philly's actually in a playoff push right now because that NFC East is anybody's division.
The Giants are still in it, which is amazing to me.
And looking at Green Bay, like you just said, they're in so much trouble that I don't even, as of right now, they don't make the playoffs.
No.
Not with Scott Tolzien as your starting quarterback.
No, and Aaron Rodgers is trying to push his rehab so he comes back before Thanksgiving, which is next week.
don't, if you're Green Bay and you lose this week, don't push the panic button and have him come back and hurt himself even more.
Exactly.
We've seen it happen across multiple sports, across multiple superstars. And Aaron Rodgers is a superstar.
Right.
Don't do this to him. Because if he needs rotator cuff surgery, if he needs any kind of, you think about a pitcher who needs Tommy John, you're a big Mets fan.
Yeah.
You look at a guy like Matt Harvey, who's going to be done for the whole season.
Right.
You don't want this to happen to him.
No.
Not in Green Bay. Not with the lineage and the history in Green Bay.
Right. I mean, especially, you're looking at who you have as your backups right now. Seneca Wallace isn't cutting it.
Seneca Wallace is done for the season.
Right. But even, he really wasn't doing all that well to begin with.
No, you can't, and you can't compare Seneca Wallace to Aaron Rodgers.
No, absolutely not.
There's not many quarterbacks in the NFL you can compare to Aaron Rodgers.
Right. This is not a good thing, because now if you bring him back too early and his injury becomes more severe, and he's going to be out for a full year, next season's done too.
Right.
Who are you going to pick up?
Well, the only bright side to being done for a full season is then, I mean, being a football fan that we are, I mean, you're not really thinking about this as far, if you're the team and you start looking going, well, who would be the projected first-round pick? And who would? I think if Green Bay was smart this year coming up in the draft, take a run at a rookie quarterback to learn under Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is gonna up and leave.
Right.
But it's a good emergency plan.
Yeah. Yeah, and you want to look at that maybe for a second round.
Yeah, I would even go so far to say third, because the quarterback in the draft coming up this year is going to be very deep.
All right. We'll head on over to the rushing stats, where LeSean McCoy had himself a good day. 25 rushes, 155 yards, no touchdowns. There was no rushing touchdowns for either team in this game. Bryce Brown, 4 for 11. Nick Foles, 8 for 38. Eddie Lacy was the big runner for Green Bay. 24 rushes for 73 yards. He finally started to mellow out a little bit. He had a couple of big 100-yard games. Receiving stats, DeSean Jackson, 4 grabs, 80 yards and a touchdown. The N-bomb bandit, Riley Cooper, 3 grabs, 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. And where was he on my team?
Bench.
The bench.
Yeah, he's been the streakiest fantasy player so far this year, because I had him for a little while.
But he's strung together 4 or 5 good weeks.
Right, but then the thing is, all right, do I start him with the over, I don't know, a second-level wide receiver, hoping he's going to put up bigger numbers?
Right.
I mean, I had Marvin Jones. I kept Marvin Jones from Cincinnati over Riley Cooper.
Right. Well, my dilemma was I have...
You have the best wide receivers in our league.
I have Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, T.Y. Hilton, Riley Cooper.
And T.Y. Hilton is that dude now, because Reggie Wayne is gone.
Right.
He's done for the season.
You know, and Riley Cooper is maybe a number two receiver on the Eagles, but still kind of a number three.
He's still a number three. I mean, Jason Avant, DeSean Jackson. I would even go so far to say is LeSean McCoy is more of a viable option out of the backfield than Riley Cooper is catching the ball on a fantasy team.
Right.
You know, Riley Cooper isn't exactly that hot button guy.
Right.
Now he is, though.
Heading on over to Green Bay. Jarrett Boykin, 8 grabs, 112 yards. Brandon Bostic, 3 grabs, 42 yards, and a touchdown. Jordy Nelson, 6 grabs for 56 yards. And nobody else really worth mentioning. So now we are going to head on over to Chicago with the Bears playing host to the Lions.
That game killed me in my office pool. I took Detroit giving off 2.5, laying off 2.5 in that game. I was actually at one point rooting for the 2-point conversion at the end of the game by Chicago to hope to go to overtime.
Right.
That game completely derailed the rest of the week for me.
Well, Lions beat the Bears 21-19. Matthew Stafford, again, very consistent for him. 18 of 35, 219 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception. For the Bears, Jay Cutler, 21 of 40, 250 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Josh McCown came in 6 of 9 for 62 yards and a touchdown. What happened to Jay Cutler in this game?
He got hurt again. They're saying something with his groin.
Again.
Or it could be his ankle.
Again. Those are kind of not exactly close together.
The knee bone's connected to my neck. you get to a point where, again, and this goes in line with Aaron Rodgers. Shout out to Purple Jesus in the chat room. Yes. You get to a point where you don't want to rush this.
Right.
And Chicago is right there. I mean, Green Bay's right there too, but this was a big game for them.
Yep.
And I wouldn't put – I mean, Josh McCown is a more viable backup than a Seneca Wallace, but
– Sure.
Josh McCown's not Jay Cutler, and you need to pick and choose when a guy comes back, because I'd rather have a guy for six games down the stretch than one game, than out two, than in the game for out three, and that doesn't work.
Right, right.
His rhythm shot.
Going on over to the rushing stats for the Lions, Reggie Bush, 14 rushes, 105 yards, no touchdowns. Big runner for the Bears, Matt Forte, 17 rushes, 33 yards. Receiving stats, Lions, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, 6 grabs, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brandon Pettigrew, 5 grabs for 50 yards. And then Chris Durham, 1 grab, 5 yards, 1 touchdown. Going on over to the Bears, Alshon Jeffery had a big game, 9 grabs, 114 yards, no touchdowns. Brandon Marshall, one of Chris's favorite receivers,
yes.
7 grabs, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Absolutely love that guy.
Nobody else worth really mentioning.
The original beast mode.
I don't know if you call him the original beast
mode. He was the original beast mode in Denver.
All right. Now let's head on over to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers played host to the Bills. Steelers win this one 23-10. Welcome back to NFL. Welcome back to the NFL, Pittsburgh.
Snooze fest.
Yeah.
Oh, was this game a snooze
fest? At least they won, though. I mean, whatever. Pittsburgh Steelers, 18 of 30, Ben Roethlisberger, 18 of 30, 204 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. E.J. Manuel for the Bills, 22 of 39, 155 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. The rushing stats, Fred Jackson, 12 rushes for 55 yards, nobody else worth mentioning. Pittsburgh Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, he kind of came down a little bit too, 22 attempts, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Not quite. He crashed a little bit harder than Eddie Lacy did, but
yeah,
still falling back down to earth.
And that's just a product of people getting more of a scouting report on him. Teams see him more. The more you see someone, the better you're gonna prep for them.
Absolutely. Receiving stats for the Bills. Chris Gregg, 4 grabs, 25 yards, and a touchdown.
Who?
Exactly. Chris Gregg. Gragg.
Oh.
Steve Jackson, 3 grabs, 48 yards. Nobody else had a receiving touchdown for the Bills. Scott Chandler, 3 grabs for 21 yards. Again, nobody else really worth mentioning. Heading on over to the Steelers, Antonio Brown had himself a good day. 6 grabs, 104 yards, no touchdowns. Jericho Cotchery, 2 grabs for 31 yards and a touchdown. And again, nobody else worth mentioning. Even Heath Miller, was silenced in this game. 1 grab, 4-6 yards.
Heath Bell is silenced also because it's the off season.
All right. Heading on over to Baltimore. Baltimore played host to the Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore wins this one 20-17. Andy Dalton was 24 for 51, 274 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions.
This game, Baltimore was up 17-0. Going into the half.
They certainly were.
And Cincinnati comes back and ties the game on a Hail Mary pass from the 50-yard line, deflected in the air, and A.J. Green catches it in the corner of the end zone by himself.
Right.
Like it was just deflected, and it was just a lollipop.
I like lollipops.
Yeah, seriously. You get to a point, because I hate, you know me with certain announcers, okay? And there's a certain lispy announcer on CBS. His name starts with Dan and ends with Deerdorf. Explaining how you can't pop the ball in the air. And I'm sorry. When there's 3 seconds left in the game, the last thing you're thinking of is there's going to be a dude behind me after I knock the ball into the air that's going to catch it and stay in bounds.
Right.
It was an instinctual play. Knock it off.
Yeah. I mean, I get what he's saying, because ideally, if you want to make it incomplete, you want to swat the ball to the ground so there's really less of a chance of anybody grabbing it. It can still happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen insane catches like that. Troy Polamalu comes to mind, where he literally slid his hand between the football and the turf and made the grab.
Against San Diego, yes.
You know, it can happen. I get what he's saying, but again, like you said, it's instinctual. You're not thinking about that, because let's face it, a Hail Mary pass in that situation doesn't happen very often.
I agree. I'm actually posting on the Tattoos and Touchdowns Facebook page right now, facebook.com/tattoos and touchdowns. Anybody has any fantasy questions for this week, if they're listening live and they're not in the chat room, just post them on the Facebook page and we'll be happy to answer them
when we get
to our Stardom Sit'em segment.
So the passing stats for the game for the Bengals, Andy Dalton, 24 of 51 yards, like we said, 274 yards, three interceptions and two touchdowns. Joe Flacco, 20 of 36, 140 yards, two touchdowns and two picks. That's very – Joe Flacco has not been the same this year as he has.
He had the worst season. It's that fat contract, I'm telling you. And it's a fact of
– Hi, Bert.
Seriously. God, does he look like Ernie.
He looks like Bert.
Oh, he looks like Bert, yes. Yes, excuse me. I have no kids, so I don't watch Sesame Street anymore.
Right.
Wow. Don't mumble and trail off like that. I looked at the numbers, and Ray Rice is still... The running game itself for Baltimore has been a shell of it as it's been for the last 4 years. Basically, since Ray Rice has been in the league. The defense is terrible, and... I don't want to spend too much time because we have a lot to cover, but it's just not having Anquan Boldin is killing them.
I agree. Rushing stats for the Bengals, Giovanni Bernard, 14 for 58. The law firm, 9 for 36. For the Ravens, Bernard Pierce, 8 rushes for 31 yards. Ray Rice, 18 rushes for 30 yards. He's really been averaging less than 2 yards a carry this season. It's pathetic.
He's been a fantasy bust.
To say the least. Receiving stats, as we mentioned, A.J. Green, 8 grabs, 151 yards, and a touchdown to tie the game at the end. Giovanni Bernard, 8 receptions, 37 yards, and a touchdown. Tyler Eifert grabbed the ball 3 times for 55 yards. Heading on over to the Ravens, Ray Rice, 6 grabs, 26 yards, no touchdowns. Torrey Smith, 5 grabs, 46 yards, and a touchdown. Jacoby Jones basically silenced in this game, 2 grabs for 17 yards. And Dallas Clark, 1 grab, 1 yard, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, all he does is catch touchdowns this year.
Apparently. Heading on over to Tennessee. The Jacksonville Jaguars win this one 29-27. The pigskin profit pulls through once again. For the Jaguars, Chad Henne, 14 of 23 for 180 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. How the Jaguars won this game? Beyond me with stats like that.
They were trying to lose it. The defense actually played well in this game, but the offense is still anemic. This game was on the road. They still have no touchdowns at home this year.
Awful.
Whether it's on American soil or London soil, because they played one game in England and they still didn't score a touchdown in that game. And they were, quote unquote, air quotes, the home team. It was a smoke and mirrors win. I'll take it. But it was... Jake Locker is now done for the season. And I think that was the reason that they lost this game.
Okay. Jake Locker, 4 of 9 for 24 yards on an interception before he went out with injury. Ryan Fitzpatrick actually filled in admirably. 22 for 33, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. The rushing stats for the Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew, 21 rushes for 41 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Todman, 3 rushes for 11 yards and a touchdown. The Titans, Chris Johnson, 12 rushes, 30 yards.
You talk about snake bit. In his first season as a Tennessee Titan, Fitzpatrick started 3 games, lost all 3 of them, has 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and 1,000 yards passing. But he's running the ball at an alarming rate.
Right. As explained by his... 3 rushes for 13 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, pretty
much.
Ryan
Fitzpatrick. The receiving stats. Maurice Jones-Drew, 4 grabs, 33 yards. No receiving touchdowns in this game for the Jaguars. Mercedes Lewis, 3 grabs for 39 yards. Cecil Shorts grabbed the ball twice for 42 yards, and Mike Brown twice for 40 yards. Heading on over to the Titans. Kendall Wright, 7 grabs, 78 yards. Chris Johnson, 5 grabs, 43 yards. Delanie Walker, 4 grabs, 62 yards, and a touchdown. And Taylor Thompson, 1 grab, 9 yards, 1 touchdown. Heading on over to New York. My New York Giants played host to the Oakland Raiders. The Giants somehow won this game 24-20.
Giants doing everything to lose this game, too.
I don't get it. This is why I can't have any confidence in any of them.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Exactly. Terrell Pryor, 11 of 26, 122 yards, no TDs and a pick. And he is also out for this week. We'll be getting into that when we start previewing this week's games.
Absolutely.
For the Giants, Eli Manning, 12 of 22, 140 yards, one touchdown, one interception.
Terrible game.
At least he was consistent with his interceptions. That's.
And it was the first pass that he threw.
Yeah.
It was a pick six?
Yep. Yep. Awful looking pass. Rushing stats, Rashad Jennings, 20 of 88, no touchdowns. Terrell Pryor ran the ball five times for 19 yards and a touch. New York Giants, Andre Brown. Hey, welcome to the NFL, Andre. 30 rushes, 115 yards, and a touchdown.
And Andre Brown was hurt for a good portion of the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him back. I think he's a good change of pace with Peyton Hillis. I think Andre Brown's going to get the start today against Green Bay, the game that was flexed out of
right.
the 8 o'clock spot. But I like Andre Brown right now.
I like Andre Brown too, but I like Peyton Hillis a little bit more. I think Peyton Hillis is more of a threat. He can run the ball. He can pound the ball. He could also catch the ball out of the backfield, which is something Andre Brown has had some issues with this season. receiving stats for Oakland, Denarius Moore, 3 grabs, 45 yards. Marcel Reese, 3 grabs for 30 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning. For the Giants, Reuben Randle was the big receiver this game. 3 grabs, 50 yards, and a touchdown. Hakeem Nicks, 4 grabs, 49 yards. Victor Cruz, 3 grabs for 37 yards. And, again, nothing else worth mentioning. Heading on over to Atlanta, where the Seahawks handily beat the Falcons 33-10.
Atlanta looks terrible this year. That's number one. Number two, Seattle, excuse me, I'm so sorry, is the worst 8-1 I've ever seen.
Yeah. Their defense, I thought they were going to be the best defense in the NFL. I really didn't. They were playing that way to start the season. Their defense is gone to crap. Russell Wilson, he's doing a fine job.
Right.
Doing a fine job. But he's not looking like the quarterback he can be. Now, I don't know if he's having issues with his receivers. I don't know what exactly it is. But, I mean, this week he was actually pretty decent. 19 of 26 for 287 yards and two touchdowns. Matt Ryan, Matty Ice,
Melted
23 ice. Of 36, 172 yards and a touchdown. Rushing stats, Marshawn Lynch. He actually got his beast mode title back. 24 rushes, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Heading on over to the Falcons, Jaquizz Rodgers. 3 rushes, 31 yards. Nobody else worth mentioning, except for the fact that Jason Snelling wound up arrested this week, and he will not be playing for them this week.
Anybody who has Jason Snelling, drop him. Drop him now. Pick up Jaquizz Rodgers.
There you go. If
about your own Simpson.
Yeah, we're going to get to him too. receiving stats for the Seahawks, Golden Tate, 6 grabs, 106 yards and a touchdown. Jermaine Hurst, 3 grabs, 75 yards and a touchdown. Doug Baldwin, 5 grabs, 76 yards, no touchdowns. The only receiving touchdown for the Falcons was Denarius Johnson, 1 grab, 12 yards and a touchdown. Harry Douglas came crashing back down to earth, 7 grabs, 49 yards.
It's a product of that secondary.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony Gonzalez, 3 grabs for 29 yards, because I'm sure Chris really wanted to know that.
I did.
And Roddy White, 1 grab for 20 yards. Heading on over to Indy. I don't even know what to say to this.
It was great.
I have no idea what to say to this.
Oh, it was glorious.
The Rams annihilate the Colts 38-8.
What do you know?
The Colts didn't reach the board till the third quarter.
And St. Louis, yes, this is one of the Pros versus Joes games. As he claps it. Duh.
I tell you, the horns. I tell you.
Are you kidding me? Hold on a second. Time out. I'm looking at these passing stats.
Oh, Kellen Clemens had a day.
A day? He had a career. 9 of 16, 247 yards, 2 touchdowns.
And you'll see that when you go down to Tavon Austin, who had 2 grabs. And you'll see why.
Oh, sweet mother of mercy. Andrew Luck, 29 of 47, 353 yards, a touchdown and 3 INTs. Matt Hasselbeck came into this game 2 for 5 for 68 yards and an interception. The rushing stats for the Rams. Benny Cunningham. Who?
Exactly.
7 of 72.
Actually, he's the one that ran up the steps during Happy Days that we never saw again. That was Richie Cunningham.
Oh, that's right. That's right. His brother, right. He went to the Army, right?
Yeah.
That's his brother, yeah.
Yeah. Zach Stacy, 26 of 62 for a touchdown. Rushing stats. You've heard me mention this before, and I hate this. Leading rusher, Andrew Luck, 4 rushes, 17 yards. Trent Richardson, 5 rushes, 2.
Yeah. What a bad season.
Donald Brown, 2 rushes for negative 1 yards. Receiving stats, Tavon Austin, 2 grabs, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns.
And he also returned the punt. He had 3 touchdowns in
this game. Yeah, he went nuts in this game.
And what did Espo do across every team that he was on the right before the game? I dropped him.
Even better. but that's one good game for his season so far. So
the chances to get him back have turned to nil.
Yeah, well. And exactly. But you know what? At the same time, everybody's going to pick him up. He's not going to do anything for the rest of the season. And then they'll be like, why did I do this?
Of course.
Chris Givens, 2 grabs for 54 yards. Everybody else was under 20.
T-Y.
Yeah, man. 7 grabs, 130 yards, no touchdowns. That's all right. I'll let it slide. You know, he can't score all the time. Yeah.
He's the third wing of Johnson & Johnson on the Flying Teabags. Yeah. I find it funny that your team name is the Flying Teabags and you have 2 guys named Johnson.
It wasn't planned out that way. It just kind of happened.
Got the beans above the Franks again.
Donald Brown, 5 grabs, 64 yards and a touchdown. Dan Heron, 1 grab, 57 yards. Everybody else was below 40. Heading on over to San Francisco in the snooze fest of the week.
For some, I found this game to be fantastic. I love defensive games.
I like a defensive game too, but
I can honestly say, Ron Jaworski, if you're listening, you were so wrong about Colin Kaepernick this year. Remember, before the season started, he said he was gonna be King Dingling. I'm going to use your line. No.
He's been anything but.
Exactly.
San Francisco loses this one to the Panthers 10-9. Cam Newton, 16 of 32, 169 yards, no touchdowns and an interception. Colin Kaepernick, 11 for 22 for 91 yards. When was the last time a quarterback didn't throw for over 100 yards?
I think that would be Pop Warner.
Okay. All right. No touchdowns and an interception. Rushing stats for the Panthers. D'Angelo Williams, 8 grabs, 46 yards, and a touchdown. Jonathan Stewart, 13 rushes, 41 yards. Frank Gore ran the ball 16 times for 82 yards. No rushing touchdowns at all in this game.
Really
quick. For the 49ers.
The Kaepernick stats, his passing stats, I mean, he's going to eclipse last year. How could you not? I mean, he started 7 games last year.
Right.
But his stats are anemic.
But comparing his 7 games to the 9 he's played this season, he's well off.
Oh, very much so.
With the exception of touchdowns, he's right around the same area.
He's 124 for of 220 for 1,675 yards, 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Looking at his rushing stats, he's sophomore slump personified.
Absolutely.
Because in 9 games, he's rushed the ball 53 times, which is only 10 less than all of last year. And he's only has 310 yards as opposed to the 415 last year. And he's also down in touchdowns by 2. Average is up, though.
Right. Again, though, going back to what you said earlier, they know how to game plan for him now.
Absolutely.
They know what he's going to do.
Did you notice last year the read option was almost unstoppable across the board? Across every RG3 hits aside, RG3, Colin Kaepernick, guys who would net Cam Newton, and now it's no, we have to become pocket passers again.
Right, and it's simple. You're playing in the NFL, okay? All these coaches and coordinators, they know how to game plan. They know how to game plan.
Right.
They see something. They have, what's the off season? 5 months?
Yeah, pretty much.
So they have 5 months to sit there and say, this is my only job. This is my only job is to figure out how to stop this.
You had one job.
Right. Right. But you know what? They all had one job, and they've all been successful. The read option has been stopped. It's like when the Wildcat first started coming back to the NFL, after one season, maybe a season and a half, because the Wildcat was a little more unpredictable, NFL coaches sat there and said, I got this now.
You went from the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills.
And the Dolphins were the one that started the trend.
Exactly. The Panthers. You had, I would say, about six or seven teams that ran the Wildcat effectively.
Right.
And a lot.
Right.
I'll use my old line ad nauseum. Now you look at there's maybe two, and one of them is the Panthers, one of them is the Jets.
Right.
And that use it a lot. And I don't even think the Jets
And the Jets don't even
it.
Really use it that often.
No. I mean, the Panthers use it the most.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, it's a product of game planning. Game plan, game plan, game plan. Defense wins championships, and gimmicks do not.
Listen, you look at it in the NFL. If you could come up with a gimmick like that once a year, you're going to be successful. You will be successful if you could pull up something like that once a year. You cannot repeat it for very long in the NFL.
No, and we looked at it.
Coaches are too smart.
100%. I'm sorry to cut you off.
We saw
it last year. San Francisco 49ers were in the read option. Crush Green Bay. Colin Kaepernick has one of the greatest games for a quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Right.
They steamrolled to the Super Bowl. A true defense that wasn't even the best defense. It was the worst defense, actually, that Baltimore has ever had.
Right.
They shut down the read option. They win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Gimmick to a point. Can't get you everywhere.
Yep. Receiving stats for the Panthers. Steve Smith, 6 grabs, 63 yards. Brandon LaFell, 4 grabs, 48 yards. No receiving touchdowns for either team in this game. Mario Manningham, welcome back. 3 grabs, 30 yards, excuse me. Anquan Boldin, 3 grabs for 23 yards. And Frank Gore, 2 grabs for 21 yards. Everybody else had less than 10.
We have two questions coming up in the chat room, but I think we should save those as a little teaser for the break.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
We have two things that are coming in. One is actually going to be related to a college player and abuse, so we're going to touch on that. And once we start talking about Minnesota, we're going to segue into what Joe was talking about earlier.
All right. You'll listen to Tattoos and Touchdowns. We'll be right back after these words.
The Conte and Kenny Show presents Fart Wars.
Yeah, but I think Beverly did it to me first, and that's right. We were in bed, and then she kind of not doing anything, but just sleeping, and she was like, she kind of warned me. She was like, oh, and I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, oh. And then I just went, you have no idea what you have just opened up. You have woken a sleeping giant. You have.
My asshole is the USA.
Dude, I'm telling you. She had her cute little Japanese fucking pilots come in and made a little explosion on this dopey little island outside of Hawaii.
Your little Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big explosion.
She's Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah. And, and I
she
said,
Pearl Harbored
she
the Pearl bed.
She Pearl Harbored the bed. And then I yakka flats the rest of her life.
She Pearl Harbored. You know, it's her fault. She Pearl Harbored. She Pearl.
The Conte and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10 on morelikeradio.com.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com. Do you have an unusual growth on your genitals? Did your significant other dump you? Lust and Love, where we might not be able to help you, but at least we'll get a good laugh at your expense. Lust and Love, Mondays from 10 to midnight on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Footer from The Red. Make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on More Like Radio.
Following Hippo Jew.
We're following an overweight banker? What does he do, like a Saul Rothstein? Accounting right here on More Like Radio.
No. I said Hippo Juice.
Oh, Juice.
Yes.
I know Hippo Juice. They rule. All right, boom. Listen to Hippo Juice. Then listen to us, 9 p.m. Wednesdays, live.
Warning, listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and or balance, imagined gains in height, fitness, and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Purple Jesus is actually doing breakdancing in his room right now.
Wow.
Yeah, he is.
That's
funny.
Yeah, funny and disturbing all at the same time. All right, so we only have a few more games to cover in our review segment. Heading on over to San Diego, where the Denver Broncos edge out the San Diego Chargers 28-20. Peyton Manning, 25 of 36, 330 yards, 4 touchdowns. Very Peyton Manning-esque. Yeah. Phillip Rivers, kind of Phillip Rivers-esque. 19 of 29, 218 yards and a touchdown. Heading on over to the rushing stats. No Sean Moreno, 15 rushes, 65 yards. Nobody had any rushing touchdowns. Monty Ball ran the ball 5 times for 20. Heading on over to the Chargers, Ryan Matthews ran the ball 14 times for 59 yards and a touchdown. Ronnie Brown, 9 rushes for 36 yards. Heading on over to the receiving stats, if you had Demaryius Thomas, you were jumping up for joy.
At one point, I have him in my big money league, and I need to basically go 500. I need to back into a 6 seed. Because I think I started off like gangbusters. I have Peyton and Demaryius.
Right.
And and I have LeSean McCoy. But the rest of the team was starting to tail off. So I need to really just I needed last week. Last week was a must win for me.
Right.
And at one point I crushed a guy. But at one point I had 4 catches for Demaryius Thomas with 3 touchdowns. Oh, it was fantastic.
Well, Demaryius Moore had 7 grabs, 108 yards and 3 touchdowns. Julius Thomas, 3 grabs, 96 yards and a touchdown. No Sean Moreno grabbed the ball 8 times for 49 yards. Eric Decker, 3 for 52. Wes Welker, 3 for 21. Heading on over to the Chargers, Antonio Gates, trying to show that he still got it. 4 grabs, 62 yards. Danny Woodhead, 4 grabs for 17 yards and a touchdown. Everybody else pretty much non-existent.
Yeah, you know, looking at Phillip Rivers' stats, through 9 games, 2,691 yards. So we're going to round up 2,700. He has 2,700 right. yards, 18 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. If I double that, I'm looking at a guy, he's going to eclipse his 2010 stats. He threw for 4,700 yards in 2010. That was his best year.
Right.
I think he's going to actually have the best year of his career.
Very possible. He might fall a little short as far as touchdowns are concerned.
The 34.
Right. Well, I was talking about, I was looking at 2010, but where he had 30, but he had 34 in 2008.
Right.
Listen, Phillip Rivers is not a terrible quarterback.
No.
He's just in a bad situation, and for some reason he just can't lead his team to much in the postseason.
As a Giant fan, which you are, diehard, if they never would have made the trade for Eli Manning, say that trade never happened, and the Phillip Rivers draft pick stood, does Phillip Rivers give them any Super Bowl wins?
You know what? I think he does.
Okay.
I think he does. I think he may not give us 2, but I think he would have given us at least 1. The Giants had some really good receivers. When you guys like Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks, you know. I think he could have done it. I think he could have done it with what the Giants put around him. You know, I don't understand why he can't do it with what San Diego puts around him, but I think the Giants had better receivers in that time than the Chargers. What in the hell was that?
I don't know. I'm trying to pull up an article about Jerome Simpson because we're going to get to him in a second. But let me just say that usually, as grown men, anything can be derailed by a beautiful woman.
Right.
Now, anything can be derailed on this show for 2 fat guys watching Joe bring us popcorn.
That's right.
At 11 o'clock in the morning.
Fatty hungry.
Popcorn always good.
All right, so we're going to head on over to Arizona where the Cardinals played host to the Texans, and the Cardinals beat the Texans 27-24. Case Keenum in this game, 22 of 43, 201 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Case Keenum's been doing it, man. He's been doing it for the Texans. Carson Palmer, 20 of 32, 241 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Carson Palmer hasn't really played bad this season.
No, I just...
He's another one of those guys. He's just been a tough luck loser.
He's the USC jinx, man.
Yeah.
Really is the USC jinx.
The rushing stats, Ben Tate, 56 rushes, 15 rushes for 56 yards. Imagine 56 rushes.
Jesus.
My word.
So his legs back on.
For the Cardinals, Andre Ellington, 11 rushes for 55 yards. Rashad Mendenhall, 13 for 42. No rushing touchdowns in this game for either team. Going on over to the receiving stats, DeAndre Hopkins for the Texans, 6 grabs, 69 yards, no touchdowns. Andre Johnson, hey, how you doing? 5 grabs, 37 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Going on down to Ryan Griffin, 1 grab, 2 yards, 1 touchdown. The Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald, 3 grabs for 23 yards. Michael Floyd, 2 grabs for 31 yards. Andre Roberts, 5 grabs, 72 yards, 1 touchdown. Robert Hausler, 4 grabs, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Nobody else really worth mentioning. We just did that one. Heading on over to quite possibly my favorite game of the week. New Orleans played host to the Dallas Cowboys.
You can play host. Jesus.
They played a lot more than host.
When you're a host, you're actually hospitable. So Joe brings us popcorn. That's hospitable. What they did to Dallas isn't even right.
The Saints beat up on the Cowboys 49-17.
What they basically did is they trashed their own apartment and then handed the other guy the bill and said, you're taking care of this.
Yeah, pretty much. Tony Romo, 10 of 24 for 128 yards and a touchdown. Easy breezy. Drew Brees, 34 for 41, 392 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Bitch, he's fabulous.
Oh, man. DeMarco Murray, the only person who actually rushed the ball for the Cowboys. Remember when that used to happen? When only running backs would run?
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
I don't even know if Pepperidge Farm remembers. 16 of 89 and a touchdown. The Saints, Mark Ingram ran the ball 14 times, 145 yards and a touchdown. Pierre Thomas ran the ball 17 times for 87 yards and a touchdown.
If Mark Ingram runs for over 100 yards, you're going to have a bad day.
Yeah. Darren Sproles, 5 rushes for 12 yards and a touchdown. Luke McCown also ran the ball twice for negative 2 yards.
And 7 touchdowns.
How's that work? Receiving stats for the Cowboys, James Hanna, 3 grabs, 11 yards. Jason Witten, 2 grabs, 27 yards. Why do I mention them first? Because they were the reception leaders. Everybody else had 1 grab. Dez Bryant, 1 grab, 44 yards.
Really quick about Dez Bryant, though. Did a very good Samaritan thing. This week, actually, the PlayStation 4 came out.
Yeah.
And he was at Best Buy, and he saw the line, and there was like 2 or 3 people in line getting the PlayStation 4 in front of him. So he did the normal thing that anybody would do. He basically went up to the front and said, those 3, yeah, it's on me. And he bought them PlayStations.
Why wouldn't that ever happen to me?
I don't know, but I literally cried. I was in the fetal position crying when I saw the guy, the first guy to ever buy the PlayStation 4. He was online. He got in first. He bought the PlayStation. He walked back outside and saw the entire line. He unboxed the PlayStation in front of everyone and smashed it on the floor and broke it into 1 million pieces because he could. I would literally...
Good for him.
I would want to put a bullet in him.
I might have assaulted him myself.
I would walk over and just start using crazy glue and just try to put it all together. It still works.
I can make it happen, I promise.
It's just a little scratch. It's still good.
Terrence Williams for the Cowboys. 1 grab, 21 yards, and a touchdown. And by the way, you know, good job by Dez Bryant. That's nice to hear that some of these guys still do things like that.
Yeah.
Going over to the Saints, Marquez Colston, 7 grabs, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Darren Sproles, 7 grabs, 76 yards, and a touchdown. Pierre Thomas, 7 grabs, 24 yards and a touchdown. Jimmy Graham, 5 grabs, 59 yards. Kenny Stills, 3 grabs, 75 yards and a touchdown. And everybody else was under 20 yards, but it doesn't really matter that much.
When Drew Brees has a day like that.
Yeah, exactly. heading on over to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay beat out the Dolphins 22-19. Ryan Tannehill. And by the way, John Gruden annoyed me.
Thank you.
Because he wasn't calling him Ryan Tannehill like every other person in the country.
You mean Tannehill?
Tannehill.
Chucking into beating.
27 of 42, 229 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Mike Glennon, 11 of 21, 139 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Not a bad day for Glennon.
No.
Not at all.
He won't be their starter next year, but no, it wasn't bad.
No. Rushing stats, Lamar Miller, 7 rushes for 2 yards. By the way, Lamar, screw you. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that was the leading rusher, by the way. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Brian Leonard, 20 rushes, 57 yards. Bobby Rainey, 8 rushes, 45 yards and a touchdown. Receiving stats for the Dolphins, Rishard Matthews, 11 grabs, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brian Hartline, 5 grabs, 57 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning. Charles Clay had 4 for 21. Everybody else was under that. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tyquan Underwood, 3 grabs, 64 yards. Vincent Jackson, 3 grabs, 28 yards. Donald Penn, 1 grab, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. There's been a lot of 1 grab, 1 yard, 1 touchdown guys this year.
Yeah, and you're probably wondering, well, where is Mike James in this whole thing for Tampa? First drive of the game, he actually rushes for 41 yards and then promptly hurts his ankle and he's done. So that's why the Brian Leonard's and Bobby Rainey's get 20 and 10 respectively in the carry department. We have a question that came up in the chat room, and this kind of really helps the you know, Miami thing. Everything's under the spotlight with Miami.
Right.
Okay. And Javon Tyree from Rutgers quit the team, citing abuse from other players on the team. And the question that's coming in is, do you think this is a fad? You think that people are just going to start pointing the fact out that they've been abused in some aspect, and they're looking for the easy way out?
Quick answer, because we do want to get into the previews.
Yes.
I do think so.
Okay.
I do think so. I think...
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly think that it's a way of getting notoriety now. You find the topic of the day that's annoying everybody and put yourself into that genre, and there you go. People know your name.
Right.
And name recognition is everything these days.
You know,
Son of a bitch.
When I played athletics, I was on the swim team, despite my tremendous girth.
Yeah.
But when I was back then, I was svelte.
The float team.
You should see whales swim. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Shamu.
Ironically, my nickname in high school was Free Willy.
Okay.
I admit it. I don't care. Okay. But, you know, it was called hazing.
Right.
You know, you abused the new guy. You know, you wanted to see what he could handle. Yeah. You wanted him to become one of you guys. And it is what it is. Now, it's called bullying. Again, Uncle Eddie, pacification of America. People got to stop. You got to stand up for yourself. This is what happens when you start with the Pee Wee Leagues and you sit there and say, well, everybody's going to get a trophy because you're all winners in our book, even though you didn't do anything to earn that trophy.
No, second place is just the first loser.
Exactly. When we were growing up, you had to bust your butt to get to get anything. All right? When I competed in competitions, I didn't get any awards. I got, if you finished worse than sixth place, you didn't get a certificate or anything. Top three would get a trophy and a certificate. Top six would guarantee the certificate.
Right.
It is what it is. If you couldn't finish there, all right, well, you keep trying and you keep getting better. You keep getting better till you earn that. People don't have to earn anything anymore. It's annoying. I hate it. It needs to stop. We'll talk more about this if we have some time at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Thursday night game, Tennessee Titans played host to the Colts. Colts win this one 30-27.
Of course they do, because I had the Colts giving 3.5.
Right. Andrew Luck, 23 of 36, 232 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 22 of 28, 222 yards, and a touchdown. That's a lot of twos, Mike Word. All right, so I'm going to put this out there. I picked up Chris Ivory this week on the waiver wire because I thought Chris Ivory was going to have a day against the Buffalo defense.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there and said, Donald Brown against Titans, I'm going to sit you down because I don't think you're going to have as good a day as Chris Ivory. Well, that's the last time I make that mistake. Donald Brown, 14 rushes, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, game.
Where was T. Rich in all this?
8 rushes, 22 yards. Andrew Luck even rushed for a touchdown. Heading on over to the Titans. Chris Johnson started off the game
beastly.
Yeah, gangbusters was the word I was actually looking for. 17 rushes, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. Had 70 rushes in the first 70 yards in the first half. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. So he came back down to earth very quickly. Heading on over to the Colts receiving stats. Kobe Fleener was the big receiver in this game. 8 grabs, 107 yards. T.Y. Hilton, 5 grabs for 44 yards. Trent Richardson, 5 grabs for 31 yards. Everybody else was less than 20. Tennessee Titans, Delanie Walker, 10 grabs for 91 yards and a touchdown.
And no helmet.
And no helmet. That's something else we want to talk about, too. The headbutt he took.
Yeah.
Absolutely uncalled for and unprofessional. I can only hope. I forget the guy's name who did it. I can only hope he at least gets suspended.
Yeah, he'll get a fine. I think it would be a one-game suspension at best.
You know what? You got to be suspended. There is no reason. He looked at Delanie Walker for a solid 1-2 seconds, noticed he had no helmet on, and then still headbutted him.
Yeah.
F you, pal. Kendall Wright, 9 grabs for 80 yards. Nate Washington, 2 grabs for 53 yards. All right. That is it for the review section of the show. We are going to go into a very quick break. When we come back, we are going to start reviewing this week's games, a lot of big games that we want to get into. You're listening to more Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Join Marianne and Kitty on Daytime Divas, where Marianne's milkshake brings all the creepers to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. Daytime Divas, Thursdays at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey, it's your boy, the impact player, Mr. Philly Raya.
And of course, your host with the most, Big JP.
And we are
the Mad Cave Radio Show.
Listen, check out our boys, the Sully Show, every Sunday from noon to 2, exclusively on
MoreLikeRadio.com.
That's right. Check them out.
Bitches.
You'll love them.
I bet you will.
Yep.
The Cousin Joe Show strives for excellence in broadcasting.
Not really sure how, but he had mutilated himself. So there was self-mutilation to his genital area.
The gold standard for broadcasters everywhere, Cousin Joe is always on topic and always on point.
Now I'm talking ourselves up.
Keep going.
Both funny.
Like where you're going.
Which I don't say often about myself. Both funny. Creative. So, I lost my point.
Never short on words, he always knows just what to say.
I don't know how to put it without sounding gay.
He's an all-around honest guy, and not afraid to let you know just how he feels.
I don't get why people are so down on Hitler.
The key to Joe's success is his uncanny ability to bring you quality programming, night in and night out.
Record yourself taking a shit, and we're going to play Guess the Shit.
You can listen to the Cousin Joe and his Big Fat Cock Show Thursday night, 7 to 10 p.m., only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh, too.
We're back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com. Enough of the pleasantries, Chris. Let's start previewing this week's games.
All right. First things first, Pros versus Joe segment. We had two King Ding-a-lings this week. And that would be Will Sweeney and Joe.
Hey.
Both going 3-2.
Yeah, I can't seem to get that 5-0, though, you know?
Hopefully.
Listen, Joe, I did it once, and I got lucky, let's be honest. Okay.
True. Everything's got to break right, yeah, even on a pick 'em.
That's it. True, yeah.
So the up-to-date standings are Will is in first place at 32-18.
Yeah.
I am in second place at 29-21 after I had a 1-4 week.
Eesh. Awful.
And Joe is right behind me at 27-23. So we're all kind of close.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to go into the week 11 games.
But why is Joe so close?
It's impossible. I don't know.
Why? Because he sacrifices heads of chickens and rolls chicken bones and figures out that he's going to make this pick and it's going to stick.
I haven't tried that yet. That's not true, but I will.
It's like in Major League. Yes. He wants a chicken. A whole one? They bring in the bucket of KFC. All right. So, first game of the week is a Pros versus Joe game.
Ooh.
We have the Atlanta Falcons, 1-point underdog to the Tampa Bay Bucks. They're in the Mercer Dome. Atlanta has looked abysmal. Tampa's coming off their first win of the season. I think the trend continues. I think Revis Island and Harry Douglas. I'll start the Pros versus Joe segment. I'll take Tampa in this game.
Buccaneers, huh? Okay.
Buccaneers and Falcons.
Yeah, put that in your fucking ears. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, language. I have signs up, Joe.
Okay. That's true. I'll have to put a dollar in the box. No, I think I'm going to go with the Falcons on this, basically because the Falcon circles the field, you know, and they get their prey. And I think the Buccaneers are, you know, okay. They're pirates. What the hell are they? They're nothing, you know.
They're pirates. Yeah. What the hell are they?
Yeah.
You know what? I tend to agree with Joe on this one. Not using the same logic.
Not for the expert. They're pirates. What the hell are they?
Right. I'm going to use Joe like logic and sit there and say birds would poop on a pirate's head.
You got it. It's very good.
Salmonella.
Yes.
No, I think...
I still have a friend named Salmonella.
Oh, Jesus.
It's true.
He was sick all the time. Oh, ba-dum-ts.
I think the Falcons just overall are a better team. I think the Falcons' defense, while they've been somewhat anemic, I think they're going to have a good day against Mike Glennon.
Okay.
And I think Harry Douglas is not really going to play a very big part in this game, as he's going to be, he will be on Revis Island for a good part of the game. But Julio Jones, I think, is back. So I think
Roddy White is back.
So I think Roddy White's going to be the man to play this week in fantasy if you got him.
Okay. So the next game, not a Pros versus Joe game. We have the Jets traveling to Buffalo. Jets are 1.5 favorite in this game. We were speaking to JP before the show started in pre-production. He's a huge Jet fan, as am I, but I'm wearing a Buffalo Bills jersey today. Kind of reverse psychology.
A Thurman Thomas jersey.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
It is.
Donald Jones would be proud. I'm going to go with the Jets in this game laying off the 1.5. I think they win on the road. From what I heard, weather's going to be a big issue in this game.
Right, which means they're going to start running the ball, which benefits me because I picked up Chris Ivory. I do think the Jets win this game also. I think the Jets are a better team than the Bills. EJ Manuel probably going to have a good day for Buffalo.
EJ Manuel's back, yes. Stevie Johnson and Robert Woods are both out today for the Bills.
That's bad.
Their 1 and 2 wide receivers are out. On the Jets side, Jeremy Curley and Garrett McIntyre are definitely out. We have a laundry list of probables. When I see probable, I think they're going to play.
Right.
And lo and behold, my J-E-T-S, Jets, get R-E-E-D, Reed this week. Ed Reed signs with the New York Jets.
That's right.
A former Rex Ryan buddy, homeboy, whatever you want to call him, is everybody was telling me this week, oh, but he's really not going to play that much. He's probably only going to see 20 snaps. No. He knows the Rex Ryan defense.
Right.
And that's going to play big. I think the idea of having Reed and DeJuan Landry in the same secondary now with Antonio Cromartie, that's not looking too bad.
No. And you know what else? Ed Reed being signed by the Jets right now, the Jets have a very young secondary.
Yeah.
Ed Reed is now your safety and cornerback coach.
Yes.
Bottom line.
Yes.
He's going to sit there. He's going to take guys like D. Milner and LeRon Landry,
Kyle Wilson.
He's going to take them all in and say, listen, guys, you guys have a buttload of potential. Let's face it, Ed Reed was at the top of his game for a long time.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be Ed Reed.
I don't think he's going to be Ed Reed.
Right.
He's going to be Ed Reed.
Right.
He's going to play. He's going to make some plays. Guy's good. But he's really in there more as a mentor to the young guys, in my opinion, and I think that's going to benefit the Jets in the long run.
I think he plays 30 snaps at most today. Him and DeJuan Landry are going to win the splitting time.
DeJuan Landry, not LeRon.
Doesn't matter. I think you're 100% right that he's really going to mentor guys like Isaiah Trufant and Kyle Wilson. Antonio Cromartie's been an amazing benefit to the Jets' secondary, even with Darrell Revis leaving. I thought he would kind of cower away, but he's really stepped up and been a leader.
Absolutely.
So it's, listen, it's a breath of fresh air to see a team come together that was in so much turmoil in a circus just 3 months ago.
No question.
So, all right. We have Detroit traveling to Pittsburgh. Detroit is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. I got to go with Detroit.
I got to agree with you. I have to agree with you. Pittsburgh's been very inconsistent. Detroit, they've been fairly consistent.
First place?
But they've got Reggie Bush, Matthew Stafford, and Megatron.
They have Megatron against a cornerback crew that cannot cover him.
Right.
Not many teams can.
Right.
But.
Don't get me wrong. Polamalu is going to be coming over to help out a lot on Megatron. But I think Megatron is just better than Polamalu.
I think the matchup to look at is going to be Polamalu and Reggie Bush. Because Polamalu is going to play that spy position
real
well. I think Reggie Bush, his numbers are going to be cut in half today. Calvin Johnson is going to have a bigger day because of that.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, I know.
I need those points. I'm playing your wife this week. I want to beat her.
I want you to, too.
Not physically. Not physically. Just, you know, emotionally. What do we got next?
Philadelphia at home. 4.5-point favorites against Washington.
Big NFC East game right there.
Semi-pigskin prophecy. This isn't really that big, but... Washington wins this game by more than 10.
Okay.
I'm talking like 32-20.
Wow.
Washington, yeah.
I also pick Washington in this game. I don't know that they're going to win by more than 10.
Here's your Nick Foles back to earth game.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That it's ironic because I actually thought that earlier in the week. I could see Washington being able to beat out Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia is a better team, but I think when it comes to a division rival, you step your game up, and I think RG3 is going to step his game up, and I think Washington can. It's going to be close, in my opinion. I'm thinking no more than a touchdown.
Okay.
Washington beating Philly this week.
All right, pigskin prophecy by the two of us. Pros versus Joe game.
Ooh, one of mine. Okay.
We have the San Diego Chargers at the Miami Dolphins. Joe, start us off.
Well, you know, you got Chargers and Fish. This is kind of weird because Fish can't play on the ground, and Chargers, what are they charging if there's no Fish there in the first place? So I guess I'm going to take San Diego Chargers, but I don't think they've won a game in a year or so, right? Are they any good?
San Diego's 4-5.
They're decent.
Who was favored in that game anyway?
San Diego by 1.5.
By 1.5. Well, okay. I'll have to go with San Diego.
Right.
You know, San Diego sounds like Don Diego. You know, it's a the Spanish term.
Don
Diego. And Spanish are good fishermen. Everybody knows that. You talk about, you want to catch a fish, you talk to a Spanish guy.
Uh-oh.
And he just trails off. you want to catch fish, talk to a Spanish guy.
Yeah, it could be. I had a friend named
That's
Don
all
Diego.
I have to
boy,
say
let
about
me tell
that.
You something. This guy could put a worm on a hook. Like, forget about it. He was really great.
He could also fish.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Chris, help us.
Yeah,
I'm going with San Diego. Not for those reasons. I'm going with San Diego because I just think the San Diego defense is starting to really mesh together, and Manti Te'o has played quite well. In the time that he's been able to come back from his injury.
Right.
Eric Weddle over the top.
Got over his girlfriend. That's
yes,
what happened. Yeah.
Yes. I actually have a picture I got to send to you guys. When San Diego played against Oakland at the airport, when San Diego got there, they put out a rest in peace Lene Kukui banner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was, dude, it was brutal. But funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That's bullying.
You got to have a sense of humor, man.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to love that Oakland fan base, man.
Right.
It's rabid.
Yeah. Right.
So I think San Diego wins this game. I got San Diego in this game by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm thinking San Diego wins this game also. I think Miami's still in a little bit of turmoil, even though it's starting to mellow out a little bit. I don't think Miami can beat San Diego to begin with. So I like San Diego in this game. Christopher?
The pros versus Joe game.
All right.
We got Baltimore on the road, 3-point underdogs against Chicago. No Jay Cutler in this game. I'll start this off. No Jay Cutler means no win. Baltimore wins this game.
Oh, Baltimore, wow.
Yeah, I can see Baltimore winning this game too. And it's surprising because Joe Flacco has just been horrible and they have no running game.
Yeah.
But then again, Chicago's been kind of slacking off the last couple of weeks also.
Well, you know, Chicago are the Bears and Baltimore Eagles, right? Am I
Ravens.
Right? Ravens. Oh, that's not even an Eagle. An Eagle
close,
is,
though.
You know, Eagles are a lot stronger than a Raven.
All right.
As a matter of fact, if they were the Baltimore Eagles, I might give them a shot. But I'm going to have to go with Chicago because there's chicken in the car and the car can't go. Everybody knows that. This is true.
Huh?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
No.
That's how you spell Chicago. Chicken in the car and the car can't go. Yeah. Well, it could happen. You know, that's my upset of the week, Chicago.
All right.
Chicago.
It's his upset of the week, and Chicago's favored by 3 points.
Oh, they are? Okay. That shows you what I know. I don't know nothing. All right.
I love you, Joe. I really do.
Seriously.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, 3-2. I was 3-2.
Hey, 3-2. There we go.
Come on.
Hey, I was better than one of you guys.
Yeah,
if, by the way, if Joe wins out this week in Pros versus Joe, again, if he wins 3 weeks in a row.
I'm buying him breakfast.
Next week.
Ooh.
Next week, I'm letting Joe pick every game for me.
There you go.
Every pick, Joe's going to pick before me, and I'm just going to agree with everything he says.
I really hope that happens.
Me
That's
too.
The only way I'm going to come back.
You're an intelligent right. man.
So we're going to stay away from Pros versus Joe now for a little while, thank God. We have Cleveland on the road, 6-point underdogs against Cincinnati. Cincinnati wins this game big.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a little annoyed at the way they lost last week. I think they're going to play harder this week. I think Cleveland's in trouble.
Red Rifle is going to have a big game. Yeah, it don't look good for the Browns.
No.
The Cleveland Brown eyes.
That was funny.
It really was. We have Houston at home, 9.5-point favorites against Oakland. No Terrell Pryor this week. Matt McGloin is going to be starting for Oakland. I think that 9.5-point spread is a little too high. If I'm picking the spread, I'm going Oakland. If I'm picking the game straight up, I'm taking Murder Was the Case, get it, that they gave me. I'm taking the Houston Texans.
Little Snoop Dogg in the hizzy.
Yes.
I agree with you, but I think Houston wins and they cover. I don't think Oakland.
Ooh.
I don't think Mike McGloin is going to do anything with this offense. Without Terrell Pryor, that offense is god-awful.
I think that offense is god-awful to begin with, looking
well,
at it right
now. Without
yeah.
Terrell Pryor, it's even worse.
No Darren McFadden, no Jerron Kreiner, Tyvon Branch, and DJ Hayden are out on the secondary side. It says here that Terrell Pryor is questionable. He's been downgraded to out.
Right.
On the side of Houston, J.J. Watt's probable. Albert Mack is out. Arian Foster is done for the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tough game. I mean, it's actually going to be a tough game to watch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So the next game, I'm going to start rolling a hot hand. Pigskin Prophecy.
Uh-oh.
Arizona, 8-point favorites on the road in Jacksonville. Not only does Jacksonville win this game, 2 wins in a row, they get their first touchdown for their offense at home this year. So I got them winning the game, covering the spread, winning outright, and getting their first touchdown at home.
I don't think they cover the spread. I think Arizona wins this game, but I do kind of agree with you. I think they are going to get their first touchdown at home this year.
Okay.
I think Arizona's got this one, though.
So that's the first one on the list.
Then again, you've been amazingly accurate with this crap.
Next game, we're going to skip this one here because it's been flexed out. We're going to go Minnesota on the road, 12.5-point underdogs against Seattle. No one wins in the land of the 12th fan. Seattle rolls in this game. Seattle wins this game by close to 28 points.
Wow, that's big. I'm going to agree with you. Seattle wins. Again, nobody wins in Seattle. Nobody beats that 12th man. I think Seattle does cover the spread. I don't know that they're going to win by 28 points.
Jerome Simpson was cleared to play this game. He will play.
Right.
He was arrested earlier in the week. They don't know if there's going to be a suspension. Would you start, because this is one of the questions from the chat room, would you start Cordarrelle Patterson in favor of Jerome Simpson? Jerome Simpson's been a big home run hitter for them, though.
Yeah. Cordell Patterson's working his way up. Right.
You know, I think the question is not so much that, is why would they bench him for a DUI if he's still playing well?
It's a policy thing, Joe. It's a policy thing. You don't want to – if you start him – if you play him at all, I think you shed light and you kind of kick NFL in the pants saying, you know what, I really don't care that he got arrested. We're going to play him anyway.
You know, I think a lot of these guys, especially when they're stupid because they know that they're like being followed and stalked by law enforcement and things like that because they're famous. So on them, they're stupid for getting drunk and getting a DUI. But on the other hand, you know, how drunk was he? Did he just have that couple of drinks at dinner? You don't know this, you know. And did he get that zealous cop who said, hey, I don't got to give this guy a ticket because he's Patterson and I hate his team?
Jerome Simpson has a track record, though.
Yeah, so that's
the issue. If it was a first-time offense, I think they would look the other way.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's had a gun possession charge, he's had a couple of things that have gone a little awry. So.
Yeah, that's true. And I do think it's because they do have the someone to step in who's really an up-and-comer, like you say. You know?
Right.
Right.
You know. It's not that they have nobody.
And I said this right before they drafted him. Cordarrelle Patterson was my favorite guy coming out of that draft from Tennessee.
Absolutely.
And he is a pure home run hitter. He's a feast or famine guy. I'd like to see him be more feast than famine. I'd like to see that turn from being just a home run hitter to being a possession receiver and learn a thing or two from Greg Jennings. But in that game, Kyle Rudolph is out. Latroy Guyon, who's on their defensive line, is out. Flipping over to Seattle, the only guy who's definitely out in this game is Brandon Browner. That's going to be a little bit of a hit to the secondary, but that secondary is amazing, and they're home. And that's, listen, they don't lose at home.
No, Seattle's got this one.
All right, next game up, pros versus Joe game. We have the San Francisco 49ers traveling to the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans are 3-point favorites. I don't even have to ask Joe. I already know who he's going to pick, but I will let him go for it.
Absolutely. You know that the 49ers are wearing white because they're not the home team and you can't see them. But I could go see the other guys winning too. I'm sorry, what was the...
I could see the other guys winning too. You don't even know the other team. The New Orleans Saints, Joe.
I'm having a senior moment.
Jesus. What did you,
what did you put in his coffee?
Well, no. I'm not going to go with the Saints. I'm going with San Francisco. They are wearing white. It is hard to see white. Everybody knows that. They're playing it at
New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah. There's no snow in New Orleans. If there was snow, it would be definitely a give. They'll blend right in. It's like camouflage. They missed that leg, when the guy goes to grab that, tackle. Anyway.
It's a two-hour show.
Okay.
2-hour show.
Yeah. You got it, guys. Okay. There you go.
Fantastic. So Joe's going with San Francisco.
Yes, I am.
I'm going with the Saints.
Wow.
As am I.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, that's my upset of the week.
All right, there you go. Okay.
That's my upset of the week.
Very good.
And I'm going to win.
And by the way, just caught on the NFL Network, they just threw up a stat as they showed RG3 going out to warm up. RG3 career is 2-1 versus the Eagles.
I think that's going to continue. He's going to go to 3-1. All right, next game up is the game that was flexed out of the 8:30 spot.
Rightfully so.
The New York Giants, home 3.5-point favorites against the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay has no quarterback. I'm going on record to say the Giants win this game. They will cover the 3.5-point spread, but just barely.
I tend to agree with you. This is probably the first time I'm really picking the Giants without much question at all this season.
Which is scary.
Right. A little bit. Yeah. Without Aaron Rodgers, that Green Bay offense is nothing.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the only one in the offense that's a guaranteed out. We have, for the Giants, Corey Webster is out. He has a bad groin, don't we all? Terrell Thomas is probable. Brandon Jacobs and JPP are both questionable. I think JPP plays in this game. JPP is a gamer. He just wants to be out there, and he's been slowed this year with that bad back and everything.
Yeah.
And I just, you just want to see him get back because he's him and J.J. Watt, in my opinion, are the next big thing in the defensive line.
Absolutely. As JPP's got to get over his injuries. He's got to come back and be strong. But, yep, that's Giants win this one to cover the spread. Again, I could agree with you barely. I could agree with you barely covering the spread. They maybe win by five.
Giants, in a Tom Coughlin-led team, they've historically played down to their opponent.
Yes.
And I think that's one of these games.
Absolutely. Well, not even just a Tom Coughlin-led team. That's been pretty much their MO for even before that. But.
And now we have the 8:30 game, which is quite possibly the best game of the year.
Game of the season.
Santa?
Santa?
Yay. And our last Pros versus Joe game. So we have the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. Let me change that. Traveling to the Denver Broncos. Battle for first place in the AFC West. Denver 7.5-point favorites. Will, start us off. Who do you have?
All right. I did a little research about this because this was a very difficult game and I had to look some things up. Alex Smith is only averaging 213 yards a game this season.
Ding, okay. Ding.
What the hell was that? Did I forget to put my phone on mute? I did.
Oh, well.
Alex Smith only averaging 213 yards a game this season. The Denver Broncos defense gives up 287 yards a game. You look at that, the Denver Broncos defense, in my opinion, is better, even still, than the Kansas City offense. The Denver offense is on par with the Kansas City defense.
They're both number one in the league. Denver is number one in points and yards. Kansas City's defense is number one in points allowed and points scored by a defense.
Okay. So, with that being said, I am going to pick Denver. If I had to pick with the spread, I pick Kansas City. It's going to be a tight one. Denver pulls it out. Denver takes over first place.
Okay. Joe?
Okay. Who's playing?
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, they are Indians, okay? But they're not really Indians. They could be firemen.
Right.
Okay.
And they're firemen with the... Well, we talked about this on yes, Ham Radio.
Feather,
with an
arrowhead.
Yeah, so.
Arrowhead. Well, you know, they go hunting. And who's the other guys?
And the Denver Broncos.
Broncos. Oh, we have horses. They're from Denver, Colorado.
They're playing in Denver.
And they're playing in Denver. Definitely Denver is going to win. I'll tell you why. Denver is Colorado's the Mile High City.
Certainly is.
They're very high. And everyone knows when you're up in that city, when you pass gas, you become lighter and more faster and wily. And it's a two-hour show.
So I like how he says everybody knows this.
Right. Everybody knows this. Line.
So basically what you're saying is the Broncos are going to win by a fart?
You know, farts propel you through the air.
Kansas City 13, Denver.
Yes.
All right, Denver wins.
There you go. So we got Colorado. I think that, yeah, Colorado's going to win. I like Colorado anyway.
Okay.
Rocky Mountain High.
Is John Denver here?
Yeah. Well, he's dead too.
Yeah, well.
He certainly is. I'm going with Kansas City.
Really? All right.
I'm going with Kansas City to keep rolling. I was on the fence about this, and I think if Kansas City was home, it would be a no-brainer for me. I would take KC. KC's actually got the loudest fans, better than the 12th fan in Seattle,
okay.
Especially this year.
Right.
I love that defense. And that I know Denver has so much firepower. I get it. It's going to be – It's everybody's expecting this game to be a low-scoring game because of Kansas City's defense.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I just think it's going to be close.
I took the words right out of my mouth. It's going to be Kansas City. I'm going to say 34-30. Kansas City wins this game.
Wow.
That's what I'm going with. It's not my pigskin prophecy. I got one more coming up for the Monday night game. But, yeah, I just think Kansas City, I got a funny feeling, man. That Andy Reid's a student of film,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Looking at him and watching what he did, watching what the Colts did against Denver, he's going to take that. And I think Kansas City's edge rushers are better than Indianapolis' edge rushers. I think that the safeties on Kansas City are better than the safeties from Indy. I think that just translates to a bigger win for Kansas City in this game. I think Kansas City rolls. They go to 10-0.
All right, we'll wait and see. But if again, if they were in Kansas City, I would agree with you. But right. They're in Denver. I just think Peyton Manning and their offense is just better. Is on par with the defense, and I think Denver's defense is actually just better than Kansas City's offense, and that's what's going to be the difference maker.
Let's just hope it's a good game. I don't want to see a blowout either way.
I'm confident it's going to be a good game. I told my wife already. I was like, I don't care what we do during the day. I don't care if I watch the Giant game. I don't care if I watch the Jet game. Tonight, I am watching the Broncos game.
It's a beautiful day of football because obviously I watch Red Zone, so I'm watching every game from 1 o'clock on. And usually, once I get to the Sunday night game, I'm kind of like, meh. I'm kind of footballed out.
Right.
I got to be honest. You know, you get to a point where you're like, you're watching so much action, and then you slow down. And Chris Collinsworth is a walking coma sometimes. So, I kind of tune out. But this is great. I couldn't ask for anything more. It's like a college football game when you get number one versus number two. That's what happens. And the final game of the week, we have the Carolina Panthers at home, 3-point favorites on a Monday night against New England. Pigskin prophecy time. New England wins this game, first of all. Tom Brady doubles the amount of passing yards that he's going to have against Cam Newton. Gronkowski goes for 125 and at least one touch. I got this game 42-21 New England. And Carolina's defense is in the top three in the league.
Okay.
I think New England humiliates them.
I'm going to agree New England wins. I don't know that it's going to be by 21 points. As far as Tom Brady doubling Cam Newton's passing yards, not hard to do. Not hard to do at all because he does tend to run a little bit more, although he has stayed back in the pocket more this season. Yeah, I mean, I can't completely disagree with your prophecy. I don't agree with the 21-point win. I think it's going to be close in New England. It's not the same New England Patriots of old. They're not as dominant as they used to be.
And I know everybody thinks I'm crazy because Carolina did go into San Francisco last week and win 10-9. But I think when you look at the two teams and the two bodies of work.
Colin Kaepernick, Tom Brady.
Exactly. And I hate Tom Brady, but there's no denying the fact that he's in the top three of greatest quarterbacks of the last 15 years.
He's probably.
Since 2000, so last 13 years.
All right, so. Definitely top three of the last 10 years, and probably in the top 10 of greatest of all time.
Yeah, and you know I hate to compare over decades and stuff like that,
right.
Because eras are different. But yeah, I think Tom Brady.
He's been the most consistent.
Tom Brady just comes to play this week, and he humiliates Carolina in Carolina.
Who's going to throw for over 400 yards? Tom Brady.
Me, hey. All right, so it is 25 after 11.
You want to do the Thursday night game?
Yes, we certainly will, and then we'll take a break.
Yep.
Let's see. Let me get to this here. I gotta find it.
What happened?
I don't know. It's gone.
Oh, my word. God help us, everyone.
Yeah. So, you know what? Let's go to a break. Let me find this. We'll go to the Thursday game, and then we'll go straight into fantasy.
Absolutely. Tattoos and touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back.
Damn it, can a guy masturbate in this house?
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't have a vitamin chance of being successful on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio. MoreLikeRadio.com. A new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Sweet speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
This is Donald Jones, and you're listening to Tattoos and Touchdown.
Welcome back, Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, bringing you all your NFL needs in 2 very short hours. We are at 11:25 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are about to head into Fantasy Stardom and Sit'em. All right.
Really quick.
Go for it.
Excuse me. Next Thursday's game is the Saints at Falcons. I don't even have a spread yet when I can tell you that the Saints are going to win this game. It's a no doubt about it type of thing. Looking at the rest of the week, though. Go ahead. Who would you have in that Saints-Falcons game?
Saints.
Okay.
No question.
That's kind of why I didn't even ask you. we got the Jets-Ravens. Jets at Ravens. Ed Reed's first game now back in Baltimore, which is impressive.
Ed Reed is going to be extremely ready for that.
Oh, yeah. We have Denver at New England next week. Peyton Manning does not win in New England. Remember that one. We have what could possibly be a battle for first place in the NFC East. If the Giants win today.
Yeah, you're right.
Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants. Cowboys are sitting at, what, 5-4?
Yeah.
Giants are sitting at 3-6.
3-6.
They win today, they're 4-6, and they win next week, depending on the score of the game, they would overtake the Dallas Cowboys for first place in the NFC East.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary. The Monday night game looks decent.
I'm sorry, Dallas is 5-5. And yes, San Francisco 49ers at the Washington Redskins, Cap versus RG3. It's going to be interesting. There's some really good games, good defensive games. You got Carolina and Miami. You have the Vikings and Packers, Buccaneers, Lions. All right, so it's going to be a good week next week.
It's a good week every week.
It's always fun for football. So, hello.
Hey.
NFL, Stardom, Sit'em, Fantasy Stardom and Sit'em. We're going to go QBs first, as we always do. Will, and for people, because we haven't done Stardom and Sit'em since last week.
We didn't have it last week.
We're going to have our Start of the Week, our Sit of the Week, and our Sleeper of the Week. And why don't we have Sleepers for Kickers?
Well, because kickers are like fat chicks.
It's like a moped. You know, everybody wants to ride one until they're seen.
That's it.
All right.
So, Chris, start of the week, QB position. Who you got?
RG3. RG3 against Philly.
Okay.
I think he's going to wind up throwing for 300 yards. He's going to have one rushing touch, 2 touches in the air. I hate that Philly defense. They've gotten better, but oof. Brutal.
All right. I'm picking Russell Wilson against the Vikings.
That's a no-brainer.
Hey, start of the week.
No, I agree. It's a no-brainer. I agree with you.
You know, Russell Wilson, that Minnesota Vikings defense is porous. It's not good at all. Russell Wilson starts to bring his season back to where it should be this week.
Who's your sleeper?
Oh, man.
Before we go to Sid, who's your sleeper?
Yeah. I'm going to say Case Keenum, even though he's really not much of a sleeper.
Murder was the case. He's my sleeper of the week as well. But to dare to be different, my sleeper of the week is going to be Nick Foles. I think Foles, even though he comes back down to earth, that game's going to be high scoring. And if you need him, if you have a guy like Tony Romo, just say, and you had to pick somebody up, or you had Terrell Pryor, who's hurt,
right.
It happened to me in one of mine, and I wound up taking the plunge and taking Nick Foles for the week. I think Foles has a good week.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I'm thinking he's going to fall back down to earth this week, but, you know.
Who's your sit?
Oh, man. Jason Campbell against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Jason Campbell, he's put together a couple of really good weeks. Give him a lot of credit. But time for him to come crashing back down to earth also.
And I had to do this in three of my leagues. My sit of the week is Colin Kaepernick against the Saints. The Saints abused Tony Romo last week.
Yeah.
That defense came to play. I think it comes to play again, and I just don't like Kaepernick in this matchup at all.
Okay. All right. Head on over to the running back position. Start of the week for me, I am going to go and say Danny Woodhead versus the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh, okay.
I think Danny Woodhead's been consistent. I think he starts to break out this week.
Breakout.
Ooh.
My start of the week, I kept waffling back and forth on this. LeSean McCoy against the Washington Redskins. That Redskins rush defense is like a sieve.
Mm.
LeSean McCoy has historically done well against them, and he's averaging over 100 yards a game through the air as well as on the ground. I got LeSean McCoy as my start of the week.
All right. Who's your sleeper?
Believe it or not, Ray Rice.
Okay. All right.
Against the Chicago Bears defense.
When you said believe it or not, I thought you were going to go the way I was going to go, but okay.
It's going to be Ray Rice against that defense. I think Ray Rice finally, as I said that the Ravens were going to win this game anyway, I think he finally has a good week. And I'm not saying 100-yard week. I'll say 15 attempts, 55 yards, and a touch.
All right. I've actually got two sleepers this week.
All right.
Chris Ivory against the Bills. I think he's going to have a really good day today against the Bills defense.
Okay.
My big sleeper, no Sean Moreno against the Chiefs.
I think you're smoking crack on that one. I love the Chiefs' run defense. I like it as a change of pace. I could see that. Because you think Peyton Manning's just going to throw, and then he's going to wind up throwing that curveball and run. And I get that. But I just, I don't like it.
All right. Well, to each his own. I think something's going to break down. He's going to break out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who are you sitting?
Oh, God, Maurice Jones-Drew. Maurice Jones-Drew against that Cardinals defense. Ooh. And I've seen MJD dropped across the board in a lot of leagues.
Right.
A lot of leagues.
Hasn't done anything.
MJD, no bueno.
I'm going to sit CJ Spiller. CJ Spiller against the Jets.
If he even plays.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets defense the last few weeks has looked really good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I mean, and 2 weeks ago, they looked outstanding. So there's definitely something there.
Outstanding. Reminds me of Full Metal Jacket. Outstanding!
You know, there's definitely something there. I think the Jets defense is going to be able to stop anything that the Bills throw at them. So, heading on over to the wide receiver position. Who are we starting this week? Who are you starting this week?
Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks.
All right.
I think he's going to have a day against that. I like using this word. That paltry Green Ooh. Bay Packers defense. I hate that Green Bay Packers defense.
Okay.
I think that Hakeem Nicks has a 100-yard receiving day. I really do. It's something that in my gut's telling me.
All right.
They're a bunch of fags.
There it is. We missed it earlier. We got it now. Oh, man, let's see. Vincent Jackson against the Falcons. I'm not totally sold on that Falcons defense. Vincent Jackson's starting to come around. I think he can do a little something.
Vincent Jackson's actually my sit of the week.
Really?
And the reason why is they're going to double on him with, if Desmond Trufant is not covering him, Asante Samuel's going to cover him. I think Desmond Trufant's been a fantastic addition as a draft pick this year.
Okay.
I think Vincent Jackson has 6 catches for under 50 yards.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what
I got. Fantasy prophecy.
Yeah. I'll spin that one. I got Vincent Jackson as a sit. Complete sit.
Okay.
Who's your sit before we go to sleeper since we started?
My sit. No, I got him slot over here. Steve Smith against the Patriots. I don't think he's going to be able to do much. I think they're going to hold him down. He's their primary passing threat, and I think the Patriots can shut him down.
And who's your sleeper?
My sleeper. Oh man. Yeah, right. That's wrong. I want to go with Riley Cooper. Riley Cooper. She's number 3 in the wide receiving core. Number 4 overall when you add LeSean McCoy.
And number 1 in Will's heart.
Not number 1 in my heart. He's number 4 on my death chart.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. But I think he could have a good day against that Redskins defense. I think he's going to be hidden a little bit.
Making his return, sleeper of the week for me, Roddy White against Tampa.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If Revis Island mans up with Roddy White, Harry Douglas has a bigger day. If Revis mans up on Harry Douglas, Roddy White has a bigger day. I think since Harry Douglas is the healthier of the two, Revis journeys over there, Roddy White has a decent day in his return. 7 catches, 70 yards, touchdown.
Sounds good. Tight ends.
Doesn't love a tight end.
Oh, God, yeah. Gotta.
Bounce a quarter on it, get back 2 dimes and a nickel. Anyway.
Start of the week, Chris. Who are you going to put up there?
Jordan Cameron against the Cincinnati Bengals. I like the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't like their linebacking core. I think Jordan Cameron just has another day. And he's been such a great find for Cleveland this
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed against the Eagles. Jordan Reed has taken over the tight end position from Fred Davis. And Fred Davis was good, but he's been non-existent this season over in Washington. Jordan Reed's going to have himself a day against that Philadelphia Eagles linebacking core. I'm going to venture out. I'm going to give you a little fantasy fortune here.
Ooh.
I don't want to use pigskin prophecy.
Like Zoltan from Big.
Jordan Reed, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns.
It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Who's your sleeper?
I hate to say this. I hate him so much. Tony Gonzalez. I think Gonzalez against that Tampa Bay linebacking group is it bodes well for Atlanta. I don't like him, but I take nothing away that he's quite possibly the greatest tight end to ever play this game. Yeah, I'll take – if I got Tony Gonzalez on a team like I have Gronk and Tony Gonzalez, because you took Gronk as – you know, he'll start eventually.
Right.
Yeah, I'd start him as my flex this week if I could.
Okay. All right. It's sad to say because a few years ago this wasn't the case. Dallas Clark is my sleeper. Dallas Clark was never a sleeper previously.
Yeah, you know, very true.
He was a start. But – against the Bears defense, I think he's going to have himself a decent day. So,
who's your sit?
I am going to sit Heath Miller against the Lions.
Okay.
I don't like Heath Miller. Really hasn't done much of anything. Which usually, in my mind, you'd be due for a breakout game.
Right.
He's not getting that breakout game this week against the Lions.
My sit of the week is actually in the same game, but I'm going with Brandon Pettigrew because what I've been noticing is Joe Fourier is getting more of the looks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all over 6 foot five. They're all over 220 pounds. They all have leaping ability out of the stadium.
Sure.
But I think Joe Fourier, I'll go out on a limb and say Joe Fourier will be the number one tight end in the depth chart next year, while Pettigrew will be looking for a job with someone else.
Easily.
And
the Giants will probably pick him up.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with Pettigrew, man. He's had good seasons. And he complements wide receivers well. And they're not re-signing Knicks, but that's for the offseason.
Right.
Yeah, I go Pettigrew as my sit of the week.
All right.
Kick of time.
Fat Chicks and Mopeds.
Yes.
Who are you starting this week, Christopher?
It's going to be our spinoff show. My start of the week is Steven Hauschka against Minnesota.
Nice. I like that.
Even kicking in the unfriendly confines of Seattle, he's still automatic. Hauschka has been number one this year in fantasy football, and I actually picked him across all six of my teams. I love the guy. I go with him. I'm going with Hauschka.
All right. I'm going to take Kai Forbath against the Eagles.
Kai.
Here's my second Redskin this week. I finally started a trend because usually my trend has started already. But, yeah, Kai Forbath, I think he's going to have himself a couple of field goals, a couple extra points. You know, like I said, I mean, I think it's going to be a decent game over there. But it's going to come down to kickers, and Forbath is going to be the one to pull it out.
All right. Who's your sit? Because we got to give everybody a sit.
Yep. My sit? Josh Brown against the Packers. I think it's only going to be a couple of extra points. He's been fairly unreliable when it comes to field goals.
Right.
I don't like him.
I'm going to stay in that Seattle-Minnesota game. I'm going to go Blair Walsh. I don't like what I've seen from him. Even kicking in a dome, let alone kicking on the road in a place like Seattle where the wind and the rain and the snow and the everything. Yeah. If you have Blair Walsh and he's your only kicker, drop him, pick up anybody else this week except for Blair Walsh.
You know, just as a quick aside, and this is going to sound silly because we don't ever do sleepers for kickers, but Jay Feely's one to look at this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay Feely against the Jaguars. Not a bad pickup if you want to pull that trigger real quick. You have about an hour and 15 minutes until your lineups probably need to be set. As I look up and see the TV with the NFL Network on Kurt Warner, your mustache looks awful.
It really does.
Oh, my God.
Someone gave him a dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, I get it. You're down with Movember, and that's great. I appreciate that, but it doesn't work for you, brother.
You can hear it in the microphone right now. I'm down with Movember.
You almost look acidic, by the way.
I do. I know I do. And it's going to be shaved today.
All right.
For that one comment alone. Defenses. Who are you starting?
Defense. Oh, boy. Cardinals against Jacksonville. I don't like Jacksonville's offense. I know you predicted them to win. I just think the Cardinals' defense is going to be a little bit better. And I don't think they're going to get any defensive points. Defensive touchdowns, I mean.
Right.
But they're probably going to force a couple of turnovers. Who you got?
Jets.
Okay.
Jets against the Bills. You don't have your number one and number two wide receivers, and you add Ed Reed into the mix, and they're already a great defensive team against the run.
Sure.
I got the Jets winning this game 13-10, so I'm gonna go Jets.
All right. Who are you going to put out there as a sleeper?
I'll stay in New York and go Giants.
I was going to do this exactly the same thing.
I'll go Giants. It's Scott Tolzien, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Tolzien is probably going to throw at least two picks. I think Amu Kamara is going to get one.
Amuk.
And I think, Antrell Roll is always a safe bet. But, yeah, definitely Giants defense as a sleeper. Who are you going to sit?
Call me crazy.
All right.
Crazy. I'm sitting Kansas City against Denver.
Ooh!
I'm sitting Kansas City against Denver because we have just spoken about how we think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Right.
For that reason alone, if we're going based on points only, I sit Kansas City. If we're in a league where defensive touchdowns and interceptions and forced fumbles play, like our league,
right,
I'm still going to start them. But yeah, if I'm in a, because I'm in one fantasy league that's points only. They don't care about turnovers. Not, it's just your points. I would avoid the Chiefs like the plague, and I would piggyback off you, and I would take Arizona for the week.
Okay. I want to sit down the 49ers.
Yeah.
49ers defense against that high-powered New Orleans offense.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. No-brainer.
No-brainer.
Yeah. Drew Brees could probably easily keep up his pace and throw four touchdowns against the 49ers. Easily.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a safe bet.
So, right there. Time to... I'm not a big fan of the 49ers defense to begin with. I mean, they're good, but, you know, it is what it is. All right, we still have about 10 minutes left. Now, we had started talking about what happened in Indianapolis earlier, where... what just happened there?
You broke it.
I didn't break it. Stop it.
Don't use the word break and equipment and Joe in the same sentence.
God damn it. This is Tattoos and Touchdowns, not Ham Radio. We don't break stuff.
Oh.
We just screw stuff up.
When we leave, Joe looks like Christopher Lloyd, like with the flux capacitor. He leaves. I can't believe they broke it again.
Where was it? I'm sorry. That picture just makes me laugh. The Cleveland Brown eyes. It's fantastic. Let's talk about this a little bit. What should be the minimum punishment for this guy who headbutted Delanie Walker?
Minimum would be a game and a $15,000 fine. Or, you know what? Let me change that. A week suspension with no pay. That should be the minimum. Because I agree with you. He was an animal.
There it is. Eric Walden. Eric Walden was the guy who headbutted him. Yeah, man. Like, you know, who was it? Delanie Walker actually came out and said that the headbutt was Bush League. Okay? Again, the play was over. Delanie Walker lost his helmet. You have to exercise some common sense, okay? If you stare at a person for a second or two, and here, look, I'm actually gonna play this as we talk about it. We'll play the headbutt. I just want to see if we can count how long it actually. Of course, there's gonna be an advertisement before it. Damn you.
I have it pulled up here. I have a GIF file of it pulled.
Okay.
Up.
And that's actually slowed down. You know, yeah, there's a little bit of a mix-up. You know, you can't do it. And it looks like he got him right in the chin, too.
And before this, the same guy, Eric Walden, wound up on the block, because that's what happened. Delanie Walker was blocking on a run. What he does is he grabs Delanie Walker's face mask and rips his helmet off.
Right.
And throws it to the side. Delanie Walker gets up, obviously aggravated.
Sure.
And goes right up into his face. And then Eric Walden just flat out headbutts him. It wasn't like a couple of years ago.
Here it is right here. Look at that. Walden rips it off, looks at him. 1-1000, 2-1000. Headbutt right there. You looked at him for a solid 2 seconds. You knew you ripped his helmet off because you threw it.
Right.
Then you stare at the guy as he's coming back up for a couple of seconds. You look at him dead in the face. As he's standing directly in front of you, that's what we're counting our 2 seconds, and then you headbutt him. Can't do it, man.
And a couple of years ago, there was a play with Brian Cushing where he actually went in and headbutted a guy himself without his helmet on. He was the one who initiated the headbutt and gashed his head open and whatever. So obviously that wouldn't be a suspension. But
no, that's just being silly.
You're being crazy. No, I agree with you. I think Walden should be suspended. It probably going to come down to a game or two. That's intent to injure on a level that, with the amount of concussions and the amount of lawsuits that are going on post-NFL.
Right.
You look at something where if that one hit causes a concussion on a guy, Joe, weigh in on this. What do you...
Yeah, no, I personally think it's ridiculous. When you take the chance of ending somebody's career
It's ridiculous that these guys could have that kind of savageness in them to do a thing like that.
Right.
I mean, where is, you know, you talk about sportsmanship. These guys are, you know, if that is allowed to continue in a dangerous sport like football, and football is a very dangerous sport, I don't care how much equipment they have on.
Right.
You know, we're going to be left with the only gorillas playing the game.
Much.
You know, it's going to be like Rollerball. Remember the movie Rollerball?
Yes.
Where they're out to kill, you know. And I'm sure the fans will love it because we're all sick in the head, all of us, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But the truth of the matter is, you might as well start giving them weapons and go ahead, go at it. I mean, those helmets are just like weapons. I mean, it's a bullet going through the air, for Christ's sake. You spear a guy in the solar plexus, he's a goner.
Absolutely.
And you hear some of the plays. I mean, they have microphones all over the field, and hear some hits that are shoulder to shoulder, helmet to helmet.
Yeah.
Imagine, I mean, I'm not saying this guy wailed off and gave him a headbutt, but he still headbutted him. It's still skin and bone to helmet.
Come on, man.
A helmet's going to hurt no matter what.
Yes.
You got a 250-pound guy behind that bullet of a helmet, you know.
Right.
Get out of here. It's like being fired from a cannon. And some of these guys, they're so goddamn agile.
Just a quick quote from Delanie Walker regarding this. What got him riled up? I was whooping his butt. That's what happened. That's Bush League, and that's the type of stuff we don't need in this league.
The game is the game, you know. If you can't play it and take defeat, just like you take victory, you have to put that in perspective. You know, if a guy's a better player than you, he is a better player than you. Admire him for it. Don't hurt him because of it.
That's
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to get beat sometimes.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, there's a couple of teams that are right on the bubble right now, teams who have losing records that could make the playoffs. Those teams right now are the Steelers, the Giants, the Redskins, all at 3-6. Then you have the Browns, the Dolphins, the Chargers, all at 4-5. Which team this week stands the best chance of winning and still qualifying for the playoffs?
New York Giants. New York Giants, hands down. That schedule is looking well for them. They fell into a good situation playing Green Bay this week. Play Green Bay. Win the game, go to 4-6. Now you go next week, keep the hot hand going, and you're home against Dallas. That's big, man. That's huge. You win that game next week, you're in first place, especially if Washington wins today.
Right.
Because then Washington's got San Francisco the following week. I think San Francisco's going to win next week. Right now, early forecast of it.
Right.
Giants have a shot to be in first place by the end of week 12. Who would have thought that? Starting off 0-6.
I'm still having a hard time processing it. I really am. I don't see it happening. I don't. And I'm a diehard Giants fan. You guys all know that. I'd love to see it happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
I'll give you a week 11 pigskin prophecy for the end of the year. The winner of the NFC East will be 500 or under.
It's completely, completely foreseeable.
I can honestly see a team, if the Giants win this division, going 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the way the rest of the schedule pans out.
Because happened 2 years ago in Seattle. Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. If they beat Dallas, they own the tiebreak. Okay? Depending upon points.
Right.
They would own the tiebreak.
Right.
They've beaten Philly and lost to Philly. Right? They've split with them.
I believe so.
Okay, pull that up, because they also...
All right, stop yelling.
Sorry. We're running out of time.
I know.
And then they still have to play Washington twice. So those two Washington games are going to be big. But I really think, man, I think that if the Giants roll and go to 5-6 and be in first place, what do they got?
They did split with the Eagles, yes.
They split with the Eagles. If they beat the Cowboys, they'll split with the Cowboys, and then they still have to play two games against Washington. Those two games against Washington are going to be the biggest games of the season for them.
Yep.
And I'm assuming it's December 1st and the last week of the season.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
You're assuming that as I pulled it up?
Yeah.
I call shenanigans, you're assuming.
No, I knew the game against in December 1st, but I didn't see anything else in the schedule.
All right, yeah.
Shenanigans all you want. Challenge you to a duel.
Packers today, Cowboys next week. Then, as Chris said, you have the Redskins, Chargers, Seahawks, Lions, Redskins. They're playing the Seahawks at home, so that bodes well for them. I don't see them beating the Seahawks. I don't see them beating the Lions.
Okay, so 8-8. Do you think they can sweep Washington?
No. I think they split. Okay. I think they split with Washington. I don't think the Giants win the division. I really don't. I don't. Call me crazy. Let me just take a quick look at the Cowboys. All right, the Dallas Cowboys upcoming schedule. Let's just pull this up. Okay.
Oakland at home is a win.
Right. They play the Giants. Then they got the Raiders, Bears, Packers, Redskins, Eagles.
They have Oakland on Thanksgiving? Ugh.
Yeah.
I'll be sure to be in a food coma by then.
That won't be difficult. They easily beat the Raiders. They lose to the Bears. Depending on what happens with Aaron Rodgers.
Perfect.
Is the Packer game. They've already beaten the Redskins handily. I think they can do it again, although the Redskins are going to be looking to play spoiler at that point because they're probably going to be in contention for first place also. And then the Eagles to end. So they got two divisional games to end their season. That's going to be rough.
Yeah, and those NFC East games are always brutal as hell.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be very rough. So,
food for thought. We'll post it on the Facebook page and everybody weigh in for next week.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, it's about that time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's the fastest 2 hours in my week, and it's my most favorite 2 hours of the week. You've been listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. You can follow both of us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at TNT Espo. Will's is at Tat, T-A-T-T, T-D Will. You can follow us on the Facebook page like we've been plugging, Facebook.com/Tattoos and Touchdowns. We have email us, send us a question, tattoosandtouchdowns@gmail.com. Weigh in on our Pros versus Joe segment, our fantasy, anything you have questions about. The website is still up and functional at tattoosandtouchdowns.webs.com. As always, check out the boys at Ham Radio, who are big fan, friends of the show. We also have Phil doing his Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Phil and I do Poke Check Podcast. Mm-hmm. And we also have Sully on after us, but Sully's on a best of this week. He's got previous engagements this week.
Yeah, I think it's his sister's birthday he's celebrating today.
Okay. So. Did I forget anything?
Nah, man, but just go to morelikeradio.com. Check out all the great shows that are on there, including us and Ham Radio. And that's about it, kids. We're out of here for the week. We'll see you next week with what's going to be probably a very good review show.
Absolutely.
A lot of big games this week.
For Will, for Joe, for myself, this has been Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. See you next week.
Enjoy the games, guys.
They are who we thought they were.